Thanks. It's great to be here. I'm continuing to learn more and more about stem cells. I'm going to talk to you about mostly about cell migration interaction models toward automatic cell-by-cell tracking. And I sort of migrated from the bioengineering department at UCSD over to the Burnham Institute a couple of years ago, and now they're attempting to differentiate me into a stem cell scientist. So we're using stem cell differentiation in stem cell colonies as a model for tissue and organ formation. As we look at these colonies as they grow, if we don't do anything to them, they tend to differentiate into an attempt to make tissues. It's just sort of much more chaotic, it appears, than a regular embryo. So if you look at these human embryonic stem cell colonies on feeder layers before they're differentiated, we see these nice stained cells on top of the feeder cells, as you see in the picture on the left. And in a differentiated colony, you begin to see neurons growing out, endothelial cells growing out, and we stain these structures with the specific markers. We get to see what are an attempt of the embryonic stem cell colony to grow into differentiated tissues. In some cases, those tissues look like they might be trying to make the same kinds of associations with each other that they do in the normal mammal. So how do these structures form? We're interested in how the cells divide, what stimulates them to divide, how they differentiate, how they migrate, how they go through programmed cell death, as they should in some cases, in order to allow structures to form. And mostly, I'm going to talk about cell migration and the tools that we're working on to track the cells. So as you know, on the MESA, there's a lot of work on single cell migration, and this is just to show that model and the focus into the cell itself on what might be happening in the cell as it forms this lamellipod region and moves in the direction of the lamellipod. And you can think about, and there's a lot of research being done on all the interactions inside the cell that allow it to migrate in that direction. And what we want to do is look kind of at the next scale up as to what these cells do with each other, and we want to develop tools that allow us to look in at the pathways of the cells and the proteins that are acting, as well as how they're interacting together in larger populations. So this is just in two dimensions with 3T3 cells, and we're working with biosensors, the same kinds of biosensors that Mark talked about earlier, that allow you to see the localization of protein activity in the cell, and then we want to connect this to the tools that allow us to watch the cells migrate over a larger area and volume. So here we see, again, on NH3T3 cells, the top two images are about 36 of 72 hours. And you see on the left, 2x2 or 4 images, fields of view of cells being tracked as they move around and divide. And on the right, you see this cell, number 13, beginning to move down its track over here. It'll come over here and divide. It comes down here and divides again once more, one of the daughters do. And while it's doing that, I'll point out, here it is again, with all of its tracks, and that we can definitively track the cell genealogy by using these kinds of tools, and that's what we're after. So there you just saw the cell divide. One daughter is going to go off the field of view. The other one will do a few loops here, and about where the pointer is, it's going to divide again. Give it a little chance to do that. And let's see, right there it divides again. Okay. So one of the things we get out of this over time is we also get a time dependence on the measurements that we make. Since this is a histone, it's H2B in the cells marked with GFP, we can see that that original cell number 13 was increasing its histone content just before it divided. It dropped in half. The cell that went off the field of view was still very healthy and also replicating its histone. And this one looped around, and when it divided, it also dropped in half. And if we look in a different cell model, this was with MEF cells, using Klaus Hahn's Rho-A GTPase biosensor, we can get an idea of the tools that we can develop to look at how cells, how intracellular protein signaling might be occurring in relationship to cell migration. If you look at the bottom sequence here, you see this big protrusion sticking out of the cell. And if you look at the cell radius, you see that there's really nothing there. There's kind of an indentation at about minus 30 degrees and no fret signal. And as it protrudes, that you see the radius increase, the fret signal increase. So it looks like rho A GTPase is being activated as this lamellipod is extending. So we move to 3D, things become a little more complicated, and that's where we need to work on both the tools and perhaps the models. You see here a stem cell colony that's, as it grows, it differentiates, and you can begin to see structures that look like endothelial cells here, and the attempt at capillaries kind of sticking out. And then when you see neuronal differentiation, you get a similar kind of thing with what appears to be kind of neurons in the cells that may be turning into bundles that are attempting to form nerves. And particularly big kind of sweep of probably neurons all gathering together. So as we look at these in 3D, or look at them in 2D, they're a 3D colony, and you try to look at them in phase contrast or bright field, and it's difficult to see what's happening. Obviously, there's a huge mass of cells, and it's going to be difficult to track all of them in 3D. Here you see 2D images of phase contrast on the left, and of this embryo, this stem cell colony, and labeled with transiently with just a few of the cells labeled with the H2BGFP marker and inverted, we can see much better some of the cells and how they move. And if you divide these into zones, you see a central zone and some outer zones. And it looks like the cells are migrating a lot faster in the outer zones. Indeed, if we track those, this was done with computer assistance, but not fully automated yet. You see that the tracks are a lot longer in the outer regions of the cells where it's more two-dimensional than it is in the center of the colony. And if we plot those over time on the x-axis and distance on the y-axis, you see that those cells that were in those outer regions are moving a lot faster and moving farther than the ones in the inner regions. And there's a difference in the mean velocities of the cells as well. So how do we start to look at these things in 3D? We can probably do a pretty good job out on the outer edges where they're differentiated and they're a lot thinner. And we look at them in the embryoid itself, they're a lot thicker and it's difficult. So we've been playing around with the idea of labeling them. These are just non-confocal, non-deconvolved images that show that if we label them with different colors at different depths, you can to some degree see that they move around to the depths between red, green, and blue. And that's one way to just think about how well we're looking at the ability to track these cells with just a few of them labeled in three dimensions. And that was a relatively thin culture, of HeLa cells that were stained with H2B GFP marker. And this is a human embryonic stem cell or an embryoid body that has much thicker cells. And you can see on the left that it's much harder to see in phase contrast what's happening with the cells. But if we use the same principle and stain a few of them with the histone marker, GFP marker, then we get a better chance of, again, looking at where they might be in three dimensions. And now you can think about deconvolving these images, forming time lapse, and tracking a subset of them in three dimensions. So this is summarized in a poster that Natalie and others in the lab that are being funded by these various funding sources put together. And you can take a closer look at the goals that we have in our lab and to act sort of as a core to produce these tools for the stem cell community. And we're dividing this into semi-automated analysis with Metamorph, which is part of what I showed you, the fully not automated analysis that we want to grow starting using MATLAB, and dividing these into two separate groups of all of the markers and biosensors that we want to put into these cells in order to track these cell types. So briefly, a collaborator list is on the right. Klaus Hahn, Famo Shen, and Louis Hodgson did most of, are our collaborators in doing most of the work on 3T3 cells and the tracking. Famo Shen was a PhD student of mine who now works in Klaus Hahn's lab at the University of North Carolina. And the rest of the group are various scientists in our labs at the Burnham Institute and on the Mesa that are helping make this work possible. Thank you very much for your attention.
We have time for just one or two questions, and then we'll only be a half hour late. any old reliable.
It's about as easy as to take and process the data on the fly. So at the very end of the experiment, you come up with a, you know, with an animated 3D image, or ultimately you're going to just sort of have to store the data super quickly, and then come back and do the analysis.
Yeah, I think that certainly in the development phase, we're going to be storing the movies and then going back and processing them, especially for doing deconvolution and then, you know, doing the tracking. So we're working on the different deconvolution techniques now and getting the instrument to do 3D, multiple fields of view in 3D very well, and then plugging in different deconvolution algorithms. Limitation, of course, with any of these methods is how deep you can go and still get clear images of the cells. So we'll start off with the lower layers and the thinner layers and then move in deeper into the tissues.
Okay.